All right, I'd like for you to take the Word of God tonight and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 9. Luke, chapter number 9, as we stand to our feet. Go to the end of the chapter. Begin reading in verse number 57. Luke, chapter number 9, and verse number 57. And it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Strong words from the Lord. We have a lot of people that make commitments and say they want to follow God, but they really don't want to do what it takes to truly follow the Lord. And I want to preach on this thought tonight. God never comes next. God never comes next. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the time you've given to us. I ask you to meet with us now and help us, Lord, to hear from thee in these next few moments we have together. And Lord, I pray that you'll use thy word tonight to strengthen us to go on for thee and to do what you want us to do with our lives. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We find here that there's a man that comes to the Lord. The Lord Jesus is looking for disciples, for followers, if you will. And a man comes to him and says, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. But then Jesus gives him a clue into something. He says, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And what he's trying to help them to see is I may take you places that you can't believe I'm going to take you. You may have to do things that you don't understand. If you're going to follow me, you've got to follow me. A lot of times we'll say, boy, I just want to follow the Lord with my life on this condition. There are no conditions. When God calls you to follow Him and you obey and you make that choice that you're going to follow the Lord, there are no conditions. You lay no conditions down. We have to follow God. We go back to the Old Testament. You can look at Abram. And you remember when God called Abram to leave his father, his mother, his kindred, his country, leave everything that he had known. And he says, I'm going to take you somewhere. And Abraham didn't say, where are you going to take me? Abraham just followed God. And he allowed God to take him wherever it was. And Abraham, of course, we know was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And as we look in that beautiful Old Testament story, we find the secret to our lives. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, we have to follow Him wherever and however He wants us to go. And we need to realize that sometimes it's not always the easiest thing. The person that God wants us to talk to, it may not be the easiest thing to go and talk to Him. But if we told God, if we're committed to doing what God wants us to do, we won't say, well, all right, Lord, I'll do anything but this. That's what these three were doing. They were saying that we'll follow you. And then the Lord puts some things down and He says, I want you to understand that if you follow me, it may take you places where it's hard for you to believe that I would take you. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests, but I don't have a place to lay my head. You willing to follow me now? And then we see the next person comes to him and he said unto another, follow me. And this man said to him, Lord, first, suffer me first to go and to bury my father. Problem is, when we look at the verbiage and the use and the tenses of these words, the father wasn't deathly sick. In other words, let me go live with my family till my daddy dies, and then I'll follow you. In other words, God's not first. He's next. God never comes next. So we understand what the Bible's saying to us here. Do we get the picture of this? There are things that God may have us do, and if we say, I'll follow you, Lord, we have to follow the Lord. If we want His blessings on our life, He says, suffer me first. Let me go bury my father. Let me wait till my dad dies, and then I will follow you. He said to another, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And he knew what was going to go on here. You get back home and you get homesick and you begin to think, I can't do that. You know? But we go there, the family will try to talk you out of it. You know what I'm talking about. They'll try to say, no, you can't go there and you don't need to follow him. And that's what he said. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean that you lose your salvation. It just means that we need to be committed to following the Lord. If we're going to be disciples of Christ, if we're going to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to follow him. Not ourself, not our goals, not our dreams, but God's plan and God's will for our lives. It's not always easy. It's not always just plain and clear. But every step of the way, if you'll follow God this step, He'll open up the door for the next step. He'll open up the door for the next step. And He'll open up the door for the next step. And we'll find out that as we follow God and do God's will with our lives, that we can be happy along the way. But if we try to do it ourselves and we try to live the Christian life all by ourselves and do it our way instead of God's way, it's going to be a tough road to follow. It's going to be a difficult life to live, and you'll never have the happiness and the joy that Jesus wants you to have. See, one thing I think we'll find out as we study the Word of God is that the Lord may take us through some of the lowest valleys in our life, but even in the midst of the valley, we can have peace and comfort and consolation. You understand? God never comes next. Man said, I'll follow you, but let me go say goodbye. When God says go, we have to go. When God says do, we have to do. When God says speak, we have to speak. When God says pray, we must pray. You understand that God is showing us some wonderful things here, and the Lord Jesus is helping us out. So many times we put top things in places of priority in our lives. We think about money. It takes the top priority. But the Bible says in the Gospel of Luke here in chapter number 16 and verse number 13 that we cannot serve God and mammon. We can't be trying to live for money. We have to trust God to provide for us. We have to trust God to take care of our needs each and every day of our lives. Sometimes we'll think, where's the next meal going to come from? Or where's the money for this payment going to come from? But if we'll serve God and do God's will with our life, then He will provide for us. You look at that and say, boy, I just can't pay all the bills. Well, did you buy the things that you bought in the will of God, or did you buy them just because you wanted them? Don't blame things on God. That's our fault. Can't serve God and mammon. We have to serve the Lord and put Him in the right place in our lives. God never comes next. Not only is money something that we put in the top place in our lives, the second one sounds very difficult for me to say to you, and you're going to say, well, shouldn't it be this way? But sometimes we put family first. But I want you to know, God never comes next. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 14 and verse number 26, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and He says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, that does not mean literally that we hate them. It means that we have to have such a love for the Lord Jesus that we're willing to leave father and mother and sister and brother behind and go and serve God. And sometimes we worry so much about what family thinks when really the only one that matters is what does God think about it? What does God want us to do with our lives? Family ought to have a place of priority, but it should not be the top priority because God is always first. The goal in our life is God. That's it. That's our goal. And with God as the goal, then we'll have money in perspective and we'll have family in perspective. And by the way, when God is the goal, family won't disappoint you near as much. Because families can disappoint, can't they? And they can hurt you and say things that are difficult, no doubt about that. We see people that put money first or top priority, and we see people that put family. And thirdly, I think we're seeing more and more of this in the day that we live in. We're seeing people put self. It's all about me. All about me. The gospel says, the Lord Jesus says in the same gospel of Luke, chapter number 9 and verse number 23, there in the same chapter we're reading, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know what the Lord Jesus is saying? He's saying that God never takes a back seat to anyone or to anything. And it's the secret of living the Christian life is that God never comes next. He always has the proper place in our lives. He's always the goal. Every decision we make is based more on Him than on family, more on Him than on money, more on Him than on self. And He's saying, I want you to understand these things. Let the dead bury their dead. But you've got a job to do. And I tell you, that's the most sobering thing, one of the most sobering things that we find in the Bible, isn't it? The Lord Jesus speaks plainly. But need I remind you tonight that God is a jealous God? And rightfully so. Do you realize He deserves all of our love and all of our affection? He deserves all of our lives. We don't need to hold back a part of it. We need to give Him all of it. And where He leads us, we have to follow. Who He sends us to, we have to go. What He says to say to someone, we must learn to say that. Because God never comes next. I've watched a generation, maybe two generations now, of unhappy Christians. Look, there's people that will never be satisfied. And the reason they'll never be satisfied is though they know the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior, they have their own goals, their own will, their own desires in mind. They want to be the best at everything. I want to tell you something. If your desire is to be the best and to be lifted up where everybody can see you, you've got a miserable life. But if your desire is to allow God to be seen and to be the best in your life, everything else will be all right. Everything's not about being the best at this. Everything's about doing our best for the Lord. You understand? We make life something that it's not supposed to be. Our enemy's not the church down the road. And we're not fighting against another church or another denomination. We're fighting against the devil. And when God is the goal, we're going to find out. We won't compare ourselves to a church down the street or a church across town. We just have a desire to do whatever it is that God wants us to do with our lives. But so many times it's about money. It's about family. It's about self. The Bible says, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Here's the secret. God never comes next. We seek God first, then He'll provide our every need. We seek God first, our family will be taken care of. They'll be doing the right things in the right way. You understand what I'm saying? They'll have the right place in our lives. We seek God first, we'll be happy. We'll be happy and joyous people. But if we do anything but seek God first, then why should we expect God to fulfill His promise that all these things would be added unto us? If we're not going to be willing to seek God first, then let's not hold God to His promises. But when we do seek God first, we can say, God, this is what You said. I'm believing You for it. He'll never fail. God is a God of His Word. And He will never fail. We trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Our desire ought to be to do whatever it is He wants us to do. He deserves to be first. Not only does He deserve to be first, He demands to be first. We don't need to look like He's some old, gray-headed, long-bearded man sitting on a throne that's barely capable to do anything, and he looks down in such a pitiful way, and you know, he gives us these little orders. I want to tell you something. He is the God of the universe, and He's seated on His throne, and He is just as able as He was the day that He spoke the world into existence, and what He says is still right, and it's still true, and we will answer to Him. He's not frail and feeble. He's God. And He never comes next. Never. We need to see it. Even our salvation. It's all about Him. Salvation's free to us, but it wasn't free to the Lord, was it? It was free. Vance Havner said salvation may be free, but it was not cheap. It cost God His Son. It cost the Son His life. But because God loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and His Son gave His life, then you and I have salvation, and it didn't cost us anything other than faith in Him. Because of that, I think God deserves to be first, don't you? Or in the top place in our life. And after we get saved, after we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we're to make Him the Lord of our life, if you will. In other words, He's to be in the top priority of our life. Not on a list with other things, but He's on a list all by Himself. And all that matters is what we do for God. We don't need to be waiting on things to happen. There's a lot of people waiting on funerals and farewells and nicer homes and better cars and a more opportune time. Or until we just feel like it. Then, God, I will serve You. But God says, no man putting his hand to the plow and looked back is fit for the kingdom of God. We're either going to serve God or we're not. He never comes next. Let's quit serving self. Let's not put family ahead of God. God wants us to have great families, and He wants us to have the right kind of families, godly families and holy families and families that do the right thing. But they don't ever come before God. Self. Those goals and dreams and ideals that we have for self and the things that we see and the stars that get in our eyes. So many times they're nothing but a hindrance between what God wants us to do and what we want to do. Notice what the Bible says in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2, verse number 12. Paul's writing to the church at Philippi, and it's a great church. If you look, there's no rebuke in this book to these people. Here's some people that serve the Lord, and he says to them, chapter 2, verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, that doesn't mean that you work to be saved. It means now that you're saved, then you're to work in the salvation that you have that's a part of your life. You work it out. In other words, you build upon that faith. Work out your own salvation. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." That word "will" means desire, both to desire and to do. The miracle of it all is that we desire to do. It's a miracle. It is in my heart to preach the gospel and to be whatever it is God wants me to be. It's my desire. That's miraculous. It's not that I'm anything good, but it is God that worked in me this thing. And God worked a miracle in my life to will and to do. But look at the next verse. "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation." Why? Well, the next part tells us, "Among whom you shine as lights in the world." When we talk about the darkness that's in this world, the reason there's darkness is because the light of Christians is not shining the way they once shined. There's more, they say, there's more people. Of course, there's more people in the world today. What, 6.6 billion people in the world? 6.6 billion people in the world. Getting close to 300 million in America. And they say that there's more Christians in the world today than ever have been. I'm not saying percentage-wise, just number-wise. But there's less light going out. Why? Because I think we lose our desire. God works in us both to will and to do, to desire and to do. But it seems like a lot of times, if we're going to do anything, we want to do it with murmurings and disputings. Let's not be that kind of people. Let's just learn to do what we do for the glory of God. If somebody else gets mad at us, just whatever. We're not doing it for them, we're doing it for Him. You'll find out life will be a whole lot happier, because when you do what you do for the Lord, He always appreciates it. And when you do what you do for the Lord and nobody else really cares about it, you don't have to worry. Do all things. Why? Because we are to shine as lights in the world. But listen to this. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul was writing to this church at Philippi. Of course, he was a founder of this church and started this. Of course, the Lord Jesus started the church. But he was the instrument that God used. And he says, when you do these things and you shine as lights in the world, then I know that my labor is not in vain. And then he's writing to the church at Corinth. I mean, after all that he said to them, all the rebuke and all the difficult things and all the dealings that he had, he said in chapter 15, in verse number 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, he talked about the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ and how this immortal is going to put on immortality and this corruptible is going to put on incorruption, and how that we have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory over the grave and over death. We have that victory. And he says, because of that, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So you see, we are to labor in the Lord, and our labor is to be for the Lord. Not for self, not even for money, not even for family, but for the Lord. But when we labor for the Lord, it's not in vain, and God will provide our needs, and God will take care of the family, and God will edify self, allow us to be edified, when we realize that God never comes next. The man in the story that the Lord Jesus was telling said, suffer me first. But Jesus said, seek ye first. And there's a big difference. We have a lot of suffer me first Christians in the world today. And what we need are seek ye first Christians in the world today. Once we're saved, then we're the disciples of Christ. And our journey it's serious for traveling the straight and narrow way. And the Bible says, few there be that find it. Somebody has told me in days gone by, they said, you sure are a narrow-minded Christian, narrow-minded preacher. And I said, I think that's what the Bible says we're supposed to be. That's the only kind of Christian there is. There's a way that's straight and narrow, but there's another way that's broad. The Bible says that we enter in at the straight gate, that the way is narrow, and few there be that find it. That leads to life everlasting. But broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there's many on that road. It's time for us to be narrow-minded in the things of God and make God the right place in our life. Where is the right place? Just remember this. God never, never comes next. Never. Anything that comes before Him is idolatry in our lives, and it's sin. There's no time to waste on funerals and farewells, and you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying we should never say goodbye, and I'm not saying there should never be funerals, but I'm saying that we don't need to wait on somebody to die for us to take the place. We need to be doing what we're supposed to be doing now. Because Jesus, the Bible says it well, He's the first and the last. He's the author and the finisher. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. He never comes next. See, He's the beginning, He's the end, He's everything in between. And when He has the right place in our life, you know where He won't be? He won't be next. He'll always be where He's supposed to be when He's not next. Somebody said He's either Lord of all or not Lord at all. I don't know how much I agree with the statement quite like that. But I understand what they're trying to get at. He is to be the Lord of our life. And if we're going to be walking in His will, we need to allow Him to be the Lord of our life. And as we allow Him to be the Lord of our life, He will not be next. He'll have the right place. I was looking at this and I thought, this is a pointless sermon tonight. Not in the fact that it's pointless what I'm saying, in the fact that I didn't have a 1, 2, 3. But I realized this is what I was supposed to preach. And being pointless in the outline of it, I hope that the pointedness of it has struck a chord in your heart and your soul tonight to help us to see the secret, an open secret to living the Christian life and being happy in Jesus. We'll sing Trust and Obey, for there's no other way. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight as we get ready for this time of invitation. You know the need tonight. I look around and I see a room full of people that continually profess to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Week after week, with their hands raised and with testimony of their lips, make the statement, I'm saved and I know that heaven's going to be my home. Well, that's wonderful. But let's be sincere about this tonight. And I'm not going to ask for a showing of hands. But as God has dealt with you in your heart tonight, I want you to consider what God would have you to do. And maybe you look at your life. Coming forward is not an admittance of being some kind of a great sinner. It's an admittance of being obedient as God has spoken to your heart and dealing with things in our lives. And when God deals with us, the greatest thing we can do is make a commitment to doing what He wants us to do. And somebody says, why do you come forward so many times? Well, coming forward is a place, yes, where we die to self, but it's also a place of accountability. Because we're making a statement that God's dealing with me and I want to do something about it. And as God beckons you, I will not beg you to come, but as God has spoken to you tonight, would you obey Him? Father, please have your way. And we'll thank you for what you do. We give this time to Thee. For it's in Thy blessed and wonderful name we do pray. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.